Now we're talking about the subject of healing. And with any natural subject, you know, in order to be a success in whatever endeavor that you've, you know, feel led to pursue, you know, whether that's, you know, whatever business, whether it's health, whatever endeavor, accounting, whatever you're going into, maybe you started a business. In order to be successful, you must obtain a level of knowledge to be successful. Well, in order to be successful spiritually, we must obtain a level of knowledge in the Word of God, and God's Word is God speaking to me. So if I want to be successful, if I want to be able to prosper in the things where spiritual matters are concerned, then I need to obtain or to acquire the Word of God, a certain level of knowledge. And we know that from Joshua 1:8. It says that this book of the law shall not depart out of our mouths, but we're to do what? Meditate in it day and night, observe to do it, and it says that we will become successful or make our way prosperous. Also, Romans 12:2, it says that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be what? Transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in order for us to be successful, or we could say put ourselves in a position to be successful, to receive the promises of God, we need to have knowledge of the Word of God so that we can have faith for what God has promised us in His Word. And I know you're not present here, but I know you're saying amen to that. But let's take a look. I know they don't have this on the list, but let's put up Hebrews 11:6, and let's just put this particular scripture up before we put up Mark 11:24. But Hebrews 11:6 tells us something. You know, we talk about a formula. I don't like using maybe the word formula, but here's something that is key here. Before we jump off into Mark 11:24, it says here, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must, I almost want to capitalize that word must believe that he is, and you could say must believe that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. You know, there's things that we should do, and there's things that we must do. You know, you should exercise, but you must eat. So there's some things you must do, and there's some things you should do. You should clean your car, but you must put gas in it. So there's some things, and here, spiritually speaking, this is saying here, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and you could add in there, must believe that he's what? He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. So we've got to be settled in our hearts that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now let's look at Mark 11:24, because this begins to frame, we're talking about tonight, believe we receive when we pray. This helps us to frame a framework, I guess you could say it that way, or place a framework on what we must do. You know, there's a God side or a Godward side to things, and there's a manward side. So here, God is telling us by his Spirit, this is Jesus speaking here. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that what? Ye receive them, and you shall have them. Now, I'm just going to break this apart here, and then we'll share about this. But when you look at what things soever, that means whatsoever. You know, it really, you could just say it just means, if you look it up for yourself, it's broken up into obviously three words here, what and things and soever. Well, you could also say things are healing. So what things soever really just means in the Greek, whatsoever. Whatsoever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Also, this word desire is a word that means demand. It means to crave, or it means to require. Now, we're not demanding or requiring anything of God. We're demanding and requiring what's been given of a promise to us. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's what? He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Let's put, and the Passion Translation of Mark 11:24, I think helps, it maybe makes it a little easier to understand. It said, this is the reason I urge you to boldly believe. I like this. Boldly believe whatsoever you ask for in prayer. What does this say? Be convinced, this is faith speaking here, that you have received it and it will be yours. So we see here in this framework, or you could actually say formula, what's the formula? You have to believe that you receive what? When you pray, it says believe when you pray what? That you receive it and it will be yours. So these three steps have to come before it'll be yours. You have to believe whatever you're asking for. Believe when you pray that you have received it, then you will be yours. Then it will be yours. Let me read these other two translations. This is the Moffat translation. It says, believe you have got it and you shall have it. I like that. Believe you have got it and you shall have it. And this is the Wiest translation. I like this also. It says, be believing that you received them and they shall be yours. I like that. Be believing. It's a continuous act here. So when this says, believe that you received them, this is a continuous act. Be believing that you have received them and they shall be yours. Now, this word desire, as we were sharing before, means to require or demand. This same Greek word is also used in John 14 in verse 13 and John 15 in verse 16. Now, let's look at that in John 14 and verse 13, because you can see similarities to Mark 11:24. What does it say? Whatsoever. This is just what we got done. What things soever in Mark 11:24. This here says, and whatsoever ye shall ask. This word desire is the same word ask in this verse. Same Greek word. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And John 15, verse 16, similar. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and ordained you that you should do what? Go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. This word ask again is the same Greek word as desire used in Mark 11:24. So we are to what? Come boldly, boldly believe that you've received it and when you pray and you shall have it. So we need to, when we believe, what does 2 Corinthians 4:13 say? It says, we believe and therefore we speak. So we're going to look at an account here of the woman with the issue of blood. And I want us to look at this in this light, that we need to come believing that he is and he what? He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we need to, the position that we must be in to receive healing, as shared in Mark 11, 24, is we what? We first must believe. When we pray, and it says, then that we receive when we pray. So those three things have to be in place. If we believe, we receive, when we pray, then we shall have it. And just I'll highlight this. Jesus did not promise results just because we desire to be healed. That's why I want to look at this. A lot of people are desiring to be healed. Oh, Lord, pray for me. I'm praying to be healed. I know so often for years on the radio broadcast that we used to have, Pastor Sarah would do a live call-in program called The Choice is Yours. And people would call all the time. They would just say, just pray a prayer. Pray for me. Well, what are they believing to receive when they pray? Me just praying a prayer for you, it may get results, but it's not guaranteed. This is saying here, when we pray. So we need to what? At least be in agreement with something that someone is praying. So if we get into agreement and I pray, we need to be in agreement that you receive when you pray. So I think it's important. He didn't promise results just because we pray about a situation. So we have to believe that we receive what? When we pray. Hallelujah. So there's a position that we must be in order to receive healing through faith. And this is what we're trying to bring out this evening. If we only desire and pray about a situation, we find ourselves trying to get God to heal us and not applying the principle properly. What does it say again? What things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and then you shall have them. Hallelujah. So let's take a look, as I was sharing. I want to look at this account in Luke and Matthew and Mark. But let's look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. And this account of the woman with the issue of blood, let's look at all these accounts. Luke chapter 8 and verse 43 through 48. And it says, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now we're going to look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 and through 22, same account. And this is the same account of the woman with the issue of blood. It says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And now let's go to Mark chapter 5 and verses 25 through 34. I like this. This is a little more expanded here, or you could say Mark added more, or the account is a little more expanded. Starting in verse 25, and it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, when we look at verse 28 in this account of Mark 5, in the King James it said, For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. But I like the Amplified, and it says, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And then the Passion Translation says something similar. It says, for she kept saying to herself. She was muttering the word. This is Joshua 1:8. Keep this book of the law in thy mouth day and night. She kept saying to herself, if only I could touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. So we see in the ministry of Jesus that we see it's the will of God to heal. And we see that from, we touched on this in the Old Testament on Sunday, on our Old Covenant. But one of the things in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus is still healing today as he did during his earthly ministry. Jesus, when he healed then, he was healing by the Holy Spirit. We know Acts 10:38, it says how God, anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And we know that by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in Philippians, it's in chapter 3, it said he set aside his God privileges and operated as a man. So he was a God-man anointed by the Holy Ghost who went about doing good and healing. Well, this said here, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's still present today. How? By his Spirit he's present, and he's still healing by his Spirit. So today, it's good that we notice this, and that healing, I want to point something out here, that healing is still for us today. But we have to, as Mark 11, 24 says, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, what? Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, we all know the story of, in John chapter 2, where Jesus went to the marriage feast in Cana of Galilee, and he did what? He turned the water into wine. And we know in that chapter, it talks about that being what? The first miracle that he performed in John chapter 2. And I'm just going to make a note of this. Sometimes it might be good to make note of some of these things. But verse 11 in chapter 2, in John chapter 2, it says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." So this is the first miracle that Jesus performed. Now, let's go over to John chapter 4 and let's take a look at this. And further down in this chapter, let me get over there. And here, starting around verse 45, I'll just read it. It says, "Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast." And now look here in verse 46. "So Jesus came again," where? Unto where? Canaan of Galilee, where he performed his first miracle, where he had made water wine. "And there was a certain," what? "Nobleman, whose son was sick at Capernaum." When he did what? Just like the woman with the issue of blood. She heard, this man heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee. So he must have heard something about Jesus. He must have had faith because he came wanting Jesus to come and pray for his son. And he said, he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said, "Except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." And Jesus, what did he say? He saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed what? The word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. So what caused the power of God to go into operation for him? He believed the word that Jesus spoke. And here we go on, and it says in verse 51, "And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to do what? Amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house." Now look at the last verse here, verse 54. This is what? This is the second, what? Miracle that Jesus did. So a lot of times, this is actually the first recorded healing that Jesus did in his ministry, but it's the second miracle that he did. And where did he do it? Canaan of Galilee. And it said here, this is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, isn't it interesting that here it does not record that this was an instant healing. It says he began to do what? Amend. So it was gradual. And so here, the Holy Ghost, John is writing by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, this was referred to as what? A miracle. So a lot of times we look at things and say a miracle, I'm not saying everybody does, but a miracle is not necessarily something that's instant. We have here in the scripture that this boy began to amend, and it's referred to as a miracle. So we can begin to say, thank you, God, that your miracle-working power is working in me. It's working in me. Because I would say this, if you have cancer or you have some disease in your body that man can't cure, and you begin to amend, that is a miracle. That is a miracle that you can be amending and healing from something that man can't heal you of. Even though it's not instant, it is a miracle. And so I think sometimes we need to make sure that we don't unhook our faith and we disconnect and stop speaking. And what does it say? Be believing that you've received what God has promised. Be believing. Let that word continually be in your mouth that it's working in me. I believe I received my healing when I prayed, and it's working in me. As they say, keep the switch of faith turned on. What is that? My words is my faith speaking. My words is my faith speaking. So we need to make sure that we are speaking the word of God, and we're continually speaking that based on something that we believe we've received, something that's been promised in the word of God based on the blood covenant that we have, and that we believe we've received it. Now, here's another interesting point here. Let's go back to Mark chapter 5, and I want to just highlight something here in Mark chapter 5. These two accounts, Jesus, after he did what? He delivered the man, the madman at Gadara, and then from there, what did he do? He met Jairus, and Jairus wanted to come and heal his daughter. And on the way, what happened? He meets the woman with the issue of blood. So we have this account of the woman with the issue of blood. And then what happens after that? Then after she's healed, they kind of meet Jairus and say, hey, don't bother the master anymore. He says, your daughter's dead. And so what did Jesus say? He said, just keep, be not afraid. Do what? Only believe. And so here, and then what happens? Jesus goes in and he raises the daughter from the dead. And let's look at these two accounts. Very interesting here. That with the girl raised from the dead, you can see here God's absolute power in operation where there's nothing, no evidence other than death here. So in other words, it's his absolute power over death. You can see that here in this account. Compare that to with the woman with the issue of blood, here is faith's absolute power to work, to receive from God, right, where healing is needed. So we have two different types of accounts here. We have one where God's absolute power is working over what? Death. And we have the other account where we see faith's absolute power. What happened? Jesus didn't say, I healed you, and we know it was his power, but what caused that power to be released? It was faith, because he said, daughter, thy faith hath healed thee. Go in peace and be whole. So we see here faith's absolute power to receive from God where healing's concerned. So we want to just keep that in mind when we're looking at Mark 11, 24, and let's go back and take a look. Well, actually, let's look at Hebrews 11, 6 again as we're kind of tying this in here. Hebrews 11, 6 says what? But without faith, it is impossible. What does that mean? I don't care what way you slice it. It's not possible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is, or you say here, must believe that he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What does that mean? When I come to have hands laid upon me or someone praying for me, I must believe that God is a rewarder. He is going to provide healing for me. I have to believe that he is the healer and that he is providing healing for me. So that when I believe that I receive, I'm believing that I'm what? Receiving something that's promised. He is a rewarder. He's rewarding with healing. It's bought and paid for. So let's look at Mark 11, 24 again, going back over these wonderful scriptures here. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, ye require, ye demand, when you pray, not before you pray, not after you pray, but when you pray, believe or be believing, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. Or believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So when we talk about positioning ourselves to receive something, you know, sometimes I think about sports. You know, I played a certain level. I didn't play to the level Pastor Greg did. He played semi-pro ball. I didn't. But I played a certain level of sports throughout high school and some into college. And some sports, you know, you just think about it. If you're not positioned properly, you're going to miss. Maybe you're a receiver in football. If you don't follow the play and you don't run the play out, you're going to be what? Positioned wrong. And you're going to miss the pass. And so the same thing, if you're positioned incorrectly, what do baseball players do? They try to hit a ball where somebody is what? Not positioned. And so you could say the same thing. The devil sometimes wants to get us to not be positioned properly to receive. What does he do? He throws up fear. He throws up worry. He throws up things that put us in a position not to receive. So we need to always think about that we want to be, in order to be positioned properly to receive from God, we must believe with what? Faith. And faith must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And it says, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. What things soever you desire. Well, we have to desire those things. What do we get? We highlighted Romans 12, 2. How do we desire something? How do we demand something? We have to have our minds renewed so that we can do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as we close, if you have put yourself in a position maybe to question or to waver, get this corrected. This puts you, this is a framework for us to receive, always receive from God. He said, what things are impossible with man, Mark, I believe that's Mark 16, or Matthew, I'm sorry, Matthew 16. It says, what things are impossible for man are possible with God. In Luke 1:37, all things are possible with God. So, who believes? So, we need to make sure we are positioned properly to receive. And we know that being positioned with faith, and even when we talk about Mark 11:24, the context of that, you go back to Mark 11:22. Have the faith of God. In verse 23, it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall do what? Not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Is that word believe again? That those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And then when it talks about verse 24, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Well, somebody might say, well, I did that already, and I don't see it. Well, maybe that's the problem. Because when you believe that you receive it, you're not moved by what? What does the scripture say? We walk by faith and not by sight. So when I believe I've received something, if I believe I receive it, then I have it. So that's what it says. Be believing that you've received it. Glory to God. And I might be going over these scriptures, but it's to kind of reinforce in our hearts and minds that we need to believe that we've received something that we've desired when we pray, and that we have it, and we shall have it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. And these applications apply, again, we're talking about healing, but anything that's promised by God falls into that same framework, or you could say formula. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is life to me. It is full of power. And we believe that when we release our words in faith, the power of God goes into operation. So when we desire, when we believe we believe those things that we desire, and we believe when we pray that we shall have them, and we thank you for it, Father. Thank you that those areas that we need to make corrections in, and those areas that the Holy Ghost shows us where maybe we haven't been operating this properly, we'll make the corrections. And we thank you for it because we desire to walk in all of the blessings and all of the fullness that's afforded us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. And I would just ask that if you're watching, and again, Romans 10:9-10, it says, if you do what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that he was raised from the dead, and you believe that sincerely in your heart, and you confess that with what? Your mouth, it says that you shall be saved. So if you say this simple prayer, Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth. I believe that you sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe that he is the Christ. He is the Savior. He came to carry and to die for our sins and sicknesses. And I believe he took them to hell, and when that was paid for, he was raised from the dead along with us, and we were freed from sin and the bondages of sin. And I believe that I've been washed with the blood of Jesus, and I now confess with my mouth that I'm saved. So if you said that simple prayer from your heart, God sees it in its simplicity and knows that you believe that he is the Christ, that you've asked him into your heart. So contact us, let us know. We'll send you some free information and let you know who you've become in Christ. Hallelujah.